I just saw something in the next chapter, and I didn't even mean to, and I just cover that up so I won't see it. I'm back here. I'm over there today. It's amazing. Okay. Is that on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll be in chapter 14 of the Revelation. I'll read it. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in her forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven in the voice of as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying, with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, saying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that sat on the sharp, who had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by a space of 1,600 furlongs. There's a bunch of tongue twisters in here. And like I say, it's symbolism. We've got to get through the symbolism. Now, what have I said about this whole time as I've been teaching this book of Revelation? It's gradually came. This is the second or third time I've taught it. And even from the very beginning, as the first time I did it, what's the first five words say?
The
revelation of Jesus Christ.
See? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ within you. I saw a piece of it. I see more of it each time. But I have to say now that every book, every chapter of this whole book is internal. Especially the book of Revelation, but all of them. But this is really important to understand it. It's internal. So when he says here in this first verse, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion. okay, upon Mount Zion. What is the Lamb?
Christ.
It's the Christ. So he saw the light, the Christ standing somewhere. Where was he standing?
Within.
It's what?
Within.
Okay, but what is it? It said Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion?
The highest realm.
Sorry. Well, it's the highest realm, but it's a parched place, and all flesh is burned up there.
Mm.
See? On Mount Zion, there's no flesh. So he was seeing a reflection of who?
Himself.
And that's what we're supposed to see when we look at God. We should see ourselves in Him. Isn't that right?
Him and us.
Same thing. We're one. You know. He cried out to His Father in John 17, Father, make them one with Me as I am one with You. So guess what? Whatever He looks like, we should be too. It says we don't know what He'll appear like, what He'll look like, but when He appears, we'll be just like Him. Right?
Yeah.
And with Him, 144,000 having their Father's name written in their forehead. 144,000, that's just the government of God. 12 times 12, yeah, times 10. Okay, but anyway, having His Father's name, and we're not His, what should that word be?
Mine.
Well, let's do it as a corporate thing. Because we are a corporate Christ, right? I mean, we are individuals, but we are corporate also, correct? So how about having their fathers or your fathers? Either way, the word would be right. Not His, okay? They're trying to make it all in the masculine sense and makes it kind of crazy.
Can I ask you a question
Sure.
here? And if I...
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
We'll discuss it later. But anyway, whenever John saw 144,000, mm-hmm. I was thinking whenever God showed Abraham, He said, look at all the stars of the sky. And those were uncountable.
Mm-hmm. And this is actually the same thing. Yes.
Okay.
It's the same thing. 144,000, you can't...
It's just
innumerable anyway. It's not exactly 144,000. It's just the government of God, whatever it's going to be. The first fruits.
So that just shows you that more than one person has been showed the...
Sure.
The... numeration or the numbers of.
Yeah, they God. Saw the picture.
Yeah.
But having their father's name or your father's name written in their foreheads. What's the father's name?
His character.
His nature and his character. It's the word anoma. Mm-hmm. Written where?
In the mind.
In the mind. What would that be? The mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is the mind of the Father. It's the mind of God.
Think just like Father.
Just like Father. And that's being made one as we are made one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I heard a voice from heaven. Of course, the word heaven we know is not heaven like everybody thinks. It's the spirit realm.
Yes.
As the voice of many waters. Now, what would you think that is?
They were all speaking the same thing.
Well, it's the corporate son speaking the word from the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I want you to try to think. I don't want to just say, this is what it is, this is what it is, this is what it is. Because that creates the baby bird syndrome.
The one that says roaring is a powerful thing that came through. Did yours say roaring?
Nope.
Okay, I'm in a different translation.
Okay. It says the voice of many waters and his voice of thunder and I heard the voice of harpers harping with harps. Okay. What?
And just how they say harpers harping with harps. Yeah, it says harpers playing harps.
Yeah, they just made it simple, but this is King James. But anyway, the many waters is many people. Okay. It says that in Revelation 20 or 21, it talks about that, I believe. But anyway...
Yeah, I think I've got nations there, but it's
people. Well, not nations,
it's
the imagination, image of nations up here. And as the voice of great thunder. Now, all the time in the Old Testament, when the Word of God came out and He was speaking to someone, anyone in the area that He was not speaking to, what did they hear?
Thunder.
So, see, thunder is also associated with God's word being spoken.
I've heard him speak with thunder because I didn't quite understand it sure. whenever he first said it. And then after I pondered on it for a while, it didn't sound like thunder anymore.
No.
It sounded like Harper's harping.
Well, that's the whole thing. So, and it says, and I heard the sound, and what says the voice there, King James says, I heard the voice of harpers harping. It should say the sound of harpers playing their harps.
Mm. Music to my ears.
Yeah. And they sung, as it were, a new song, as a fresh new song, before the throne and before the four beasts. That's the complete God-man, the corporate son, and the elders. And that's the same. Those elders are the first fruits. There's different names for them. Same thing. And no man could learn the song except the 144,000 which were purchased from the earth. Now, where were they purchased from?
The earth or off one, two.
There you go. Dust and sand. See, so he purchased them out of. So, did God ever tell us to go destroy the church system?
No.
No. Leave them alone. If that's what they want to do, fine. Tell them the truth, and if the Spirit of God wants them, no man comes to me except what?
The Father draws.
That's the Spirit of God, which is Father. Father draws them. Okay? So we're not supposed to be tearing down churches or beating them up or anything. We can just tell somebody the truth. If they want to buy it, fine. If they don't, just let it go. But they were purchased from the dust and the sand. And these are they which were not defiled or not soiled with what? Women. What's it mean?
Soulless
realm. Well, it's a soulless realm or the church realm. Either one you want to say there. And it's both happens internally. The church realm defiles me. The harlot seeks the precious life, doesn't she? Okay. But when it said they were not defiled with women, that means, you know, we came through the church system. Okay? But if we had been defiled by the woman, would we still be there or be here?
The ones that are permanently stuck there.
Yeah, see, that's it. See, but I'm saying we were not defiled. The ones that are permanently stuck there, excuse me, are defiled.
Well, you can look at the woman as a fleshly thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're talking about internally. Well, if we're defiled, we're not going to come out of there. We're
right.
going to stay there.
Right.
But if when he said we're not defiled, the ones chosen in Ephesians 1, the ones that were chosen before the conception of the world, if God chose you before the world started, you can't be defiled. See, and you're coming on through. You're going through it, but you're coming on out of it, the other side. Because they are what?
Virgins.
They're virgins. What does that mean, saying they're virgins?
They weren't defiled.
No, more than that.
They were from their original state.
They were faithful. They were faithful to what they had. They had some indication of who their father was, or their husband was, I should say.
I put down that I was awakened to my original state.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
So they knew their true identity.
Their true identity. Yeah. They're virgins. They're faithful to yeah. their husband.
They're perfect. They're
to
perfect.
Christ. These are they which follow as a disciple, okay, the Lamb, whithersoever he goes, wherever he leads. These were purchased from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. See, he comes right out and tells you there now. They're the first fruits to God and the Lamb. All this is about the first fruits right there. But where is that at?
Inside of you.
It's internal. It's not about our flesh. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom, right? And here's one I like. Verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile. Now, what does that guile mean?
Deceit.
Well, it means no falsehood or no lies.
They were not. They're blameless.
Yeah. Because they are blameless or unblemished or unblameable before the throne of God. Now, can people blame you for stuff out here? You
no.
bet you they're going to.
All the time.
No.
But before the throne of God, what do you stand?
Not guilty.
See?
Not guilty.
That's the whole picture there. And see, this, what people judge you here don't mean squat to us, does it?
No.
I laugh at people all the time when they say things to me. I get guys say, "You used to be a preacher." Really? How do you know what a preacher was? Who gave you the authority to judge me?
Well, if you stay in that...
I knew you still work.
Yeah, but they think I'm not.
If you stay in that defiled state, you remain guilty.
Yeah. You're in your mind, you'll be condemning yourself.
Right. Condemnation.
Verse 6, he says, "And I saw another angel," okay? And "fly in the midst of heaven," or the spirit realm, "having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth." Well, who do you think that angel was, that messenger flying was, that had the everlasting gospel or the gospel of the ages? Who do you think that was preaching to them? Where?
On the earth.
Where was that? I lost my place.
Six. On the earth.
That dwell on the earth, that permanently dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Who was that?
This was the Jesus first fruit.
No, it's first fruit.
Okay.
The 144,000, the first fruit. You know, all these. This whole thing is about first fruit here. He even said it right there in that fifth verse. This is the first fruit. And he saw another angel fly in the mist. Okay.
There's where they get those flying angels.
Huh? Sure it is, and it's just they're above, you know, the transportation mode they were doing was all in their capacity to see was somebody moving above them in a realm above them. So what do they say? Well, they're flying. That's
either
all they know.
Something that they elevate above themselves because they can't reach that
plateau. That's right.
So this another angel is a corporate Christ.
It's the corporate Christ preaching the everlasting gospel. Who's going to preach the gospel other than the first fruit sons of God?
Yeah, the
tell me, the one who can preach the gospel other than the first fruit. The rest of these people are playing on the dust and sand realms. Do you think they can really preach the truth of God? They don't have it. They're not aware of if they do. And here's what they're saying with a loud voice. Revere God, reverence God, and give glory to him because the hour of his judgment. Now, what do you think that word judgment means?
Christ.
Not guilty.
Hmm? What would you say?
Not guilty.
Well, that's what the verdict is. Yeah, that's his judgment. But what the language actually says is a decision or justice. For the hour of his justice has come, and worship him that made heaven, the spirit realm, and the earth realm, and the sea, the humanity, and the fountains of waters. What do you think the fountains of waters are? It's the people pouring out God's word.
Continual flow.
Yeah. Did he say there'll be rivers of living waters running out of your belly? Mm-hmm. Out of your innermost being? Here, I got some. It said in that seventh verse, "And worship him that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of the waters," right? In Colossians 1:16 it says, we're talking about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, because by him were all things created that are in heaven, the realm of the Spirit, and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Goes together, don't it? We're talking about the same one. Now, I got something I think is right, and I'm not going to belabor the point, but when he created the mature son and the perfect God-man in Genesis 1:1, and I think this is tied into this here to verify it, when he created that, it was Christ, you know, the heaven and earth. He was made the perfect God-man. Okay. Now, the perfect God-man wasn't walking around without a head, was he?
No.
Okay. Christ is the head of what?
All
men. Okay? Okay, but on the first fruits, he's the head of the body of Christ. Okay? Everybody's not the body of Christ. First fruits are the body of Christ. But they're connected. That's what I'm saying. So when he's saying here that fear God, give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. Do you think when, and we'll say Christ, you know, everybody says Jesus created all things. Well, that was the flesh man that they're talking about. We're talking about the spirit man. But still, the spirit man was connected to the body at all times. Was he ever disconnected?
No.
If he was, there would be death, wouldn't there? Okay, he was connected. So what I'm saying is, when this stuff was created, who created it?
God, man.
Who's the God, man?
I am.
I'm trying to show you something to give you confidence that, that this is not some fairy tale out there. This is something he's trying to show us in here. We are that. What do you think his disciples said, you know, was telling him about all the great things he did? He said, no, don't worship me. You're going to do greater things than I did. You're going to do greater miracles than he did. Everybody says, oh, that couldn't be. Really?
He stopped
creating. Did Jesus lie? He said, you're going to do more miracles than I did. He's talking about that people right there.
Everything you see, you created.
Yeah. We helped the creation. The God of Genesis 1 is not God the Father. God the Father is not mentioned until the fourth chapter. It was the Elohim, the many-membered body of God, which is the Christ, the plurality of God. And they were always connected. We've only been separated in our understanding. We thought we were separated.
There it is.
That's what Adam did in the garden. He thought he was separated from God. Eve told him some things that the serpent had told her. We've never been separated from God. If God separated,
actually told the same one that we're talking about, because Eve was within
the man.
The man tried to bring him to a different state of thinking. Again.
Wouldn't that be your soulish realm right now trying to tell you that
you're not?
Yes or you're not?
Well, sure it is. It's your carnal mind, and you know, your carnal mind, that ego of man, you know, of all of you, ego of humanity. I hate to say it, ego of man, because some people misinterpret it to be, and I'm just talking about the man, you know, the woman isn't guilty of it. You know.
Just say the ego.
The ego is in humanity, period. And that ego just doesn't want to give up. It'll do anything, say anything. Just watch the criminals on TV. When they get back in the corner, they'll say anything, they'll do anything to try to get out of being found guilty on something.
Wasn't me. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, if you ask the little kid, did you poop in your pants?
And you see it hanging clear down to their ankles. And
it's out their shoes. Yeah.
Not me.
No.
I didn't do it. So that's the things.
Water.
You don't have to teach them how to lie. they can do it. But I'm saying the ego of man doesn't want to give it up. And there's going to be a battle in that. And that's why we have to be faithful to God. And it'll come out in the 12th verse. And verse 8. And there followed another angel. Okay? And actually it's a second messenger, which is the 144,000 again. They just come back and talk to you again. Well, it says the second time, okay, saying Babylon, and Babylon is what?
Confusion.
Religious confusion. We're talking religious stuff here. Religious confusion is fallen. Now, you can see that as a past tense, can't you? Mm-hmm. It didn't say it is falling. It said is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What do you think this is all about? What is Babylon?
It was the confusion that was telling me I ain't who I am.
See, again, it's right in that carnal mind again. This whole battleground.
You know what I saw in that?
Go ahead.
That Babylon, being, they usually say it's kind of female. Babylon is female. And in Babylon, it was a lustful thing. Mm-hmm. And in that lust, it appears to be love, but it's not. Mm-hmm. The true love is actually in first fruit.
Absolutely.
That there is no lust in first fruit.
No.
It just is love.
Right.
But in Babylon, it portrays lust, which draws you in.
Well, when they portray this, what you just said about the Babylon being female, mm-hmm. the Babylonian whore, mm-hmm. and we'll deal with that one later on too. But here's the thing about that Babylonian whore. It's not about the female. It's about, okay, just so you can see what I'm trying to tell you, keep it in context. Mm-hmm. It's about the religious confusion that is unfaithful to God. It's not about female sexual things like people want to put it onto. It's the unfaithfulness of our spirit to the spirit of God. That's the Babylonian whore. It's the thing in there that's trying to draw you away. She's making you drink of everything of the world that doesn't mean anything.
Right. But in Proverbs, where she's talking about making her bed to woo the... Mm-hmm.
And
she used lust to do it. It wasn't love. It had nothing to do with love.
She found him in the street and forced him to follow her. Yeah. So, yep. She'd made her bed and did it with all kinds of perfumes and stuff, to whatever it takes
enticed
to get him in.
You to get in.
Yep.
Same way it is with...
Until a dart striking through the liver.
Right.
You know what that means? What is the liver?
Liver, purifier.
Hey, Jesse, what's the liver in your body? What's it do? It's a filter. You're right. So when he says this dart strikes him through the liver, the man, okay, the human, is that you don't have any more ability to filter truth from error.
Yeah.
You can't do it anymore. Once you let that dart get in there, you know, you've lost your ability. When you lose your liver, you lose all the chance of life, really. Without a liver, where are you going to go?
You really can't tell.
The grave.
What's not.
No, you have no ability to filter it out.
You just lose all ability to tell what's real. Yeah. Really, what's of God, what's not.
Yep. Okay. And it says, drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. You know, and again, that's just the unfaithfulness of an idolatry. You know. And the third messenger followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in their hand, you know. I wrote some down below here. In Revelation 13:16. What did I put that in there for? 13:16. And he caused all, this is the beast, caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in her right hand and in her foreheads. So guess what? He says, if any man worship the beast, his image, or receive his mark, or in his hand or his forehead, well, who would that be? He just said back here that the beast caused them all. Mm-hmm. All to receive. That's the natural mind. Mm-hmm. The beast that caused that was who? Adam.
Oh, okay.
Adam's fall in the garden caused all humanity to fall into sin. Correct?
Now, when we were talking earlier, when you said about the God-man being the creator, mm-hmm. Adam created that too, didn't he?
Sure he did.
So we create, every day we
create our own mess. Mm-hmm. We shoot ourselves in the foot and want to blame somebody else. We're doing it to ourselves.
We put the dart in our liver ourselves.
We do it ourselves. Everything is self-inflicted because it's the human nature to point the other way. It's their fault out there somewhere. I'll find someone to blame, you know. But we got to learn to accept responsibility. I made a mistake. I created this problem, and it'll never go away. And like we said about the test, as long as you fail the test, what's going to happen?
You get tested again.
You're going to repeat it, and you're going to repeat it. How many people do you know that you see them in that same rut all the time? day after day, week after week, months, years, because they're never accepting responsibility. And if they did, that one would go away. They could move on to something else. Until you pass the test, you can't go beyond that. You've got to get this. You got to hit every step on the way. You can't jump over them. Or we'd have kangaroos everywhere. Everybody would be jumping. Verse 10, "And they shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, and that wrath is not
passion.
Yeah, it's the passion of God, which is poured out without measure," okay? That means full strength, undiluted, "into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, holy messengers, and in the presence of the Lamb." Now, they'll drink of the passion of God. See, most people think that God's passion is what? To save a few. And torment the rest of them.
If you ask him.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you be good.
But see, his passion is to see all.
Reconcile all.
Reconcile all. A-L-L. And he said, which is poured out, this passion of God is poured out without mixture, undiluted, full strength, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented, and that's the touchstone. Excuse me. Sorry about that, I'm belching. Tormented. And remember what the touchstone's for? It's not to be. It's not to steal some gold and silver from you when they test you. It's to see how pure your gold and silver is. So the test, just like a test in school, is not to show you what you don't know, but it's to show you how much you really know. So it's not a negative; it's a positive. And they'll be tested with, okay, or in fire and brimstone. What is fire and brimstone?
Purification.
Yeah, well, it's the salt. Divine lake. It's the lake of fire and brimstone. Yeah, that's what same thing it's referring to. And that's divine purification and correction. Because brimstone is the word theon, which is for sulfur, which is for purification. And in the presence, and they're in the fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy messengers, and in the presence of the Lamb. What is the fire?
Us, what we're speaking.
Didn't he say he makes his holy messengers? He makes his ministers a flaming fire.
Or messengers.
Same thing. It's talking about the same group of people from a different perspective, but the same people. So he makes them a flaming fire. So guess what? It would be kind of warm around them. And the smoke of their torment, and again, that's the touchstone, ascends up into the age of ages. It means it continues on as long as there's time. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Now, Revelation 13:16 again says, who received it? Okay? So here's what I say to it. He already said he caused all to receive the mark. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if all received it, then what happens to our marks?
We outgrew
them. We washed them off in the blood.
They burned off.
Yeah. Yeah. But just say it the way it is. His blood cleansed us. Doesn't it say that in the book? So he washed that out of our mind. He did it, not us.
Yeah.
We're washed by the water of the word. See, the truth of the gospel, not the gospel light that they spew all over the place that does nothing but puff people up or condemn them. You know, tell them the truth. I've heard preachers tell me, well, I can't tell them the truth, they would offend them. Oh, big whoop. Tell them the truth.
But then they would leave.
Yeah. Okay, and here is the patience of the saints. Keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Okay? And there's a whole bunch of scriptures to verify that, you know, and I'm not going to get into that. And I got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different ones that talk about that, you know, the faith of the saints. and keep the commandments of God. Okay? I think we're far enough. We understand that one. In verse 13, "And I heard a voice from the realm of the Spirit saying to me, Write, blessed or supremely blessed are the dead, the ones that die in the Lord from henceforth or from now on. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest," and the word "may rest" isn't right, should be that they rest from their labors and their works accompany them.
Die to self.
Yeah, it's all. It's not talking about you dying. If you physically die, it's over with you that far on this earth. But we die to my desires and live to His desires. Right? Like Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but the Christ that lives within me.
I die daily.
Every day. A little more of it. "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud." What's white speak of?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. A white cloud. What's a cloud speak of?
Overcomers.
What's this? A cloud of witnesses, remember, in Hebrews?
Okay.
Yeah. Which is still overcomers. It
okay.
is. "And upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man." Wonder who that might be.
Me.
It's Christ.
The Christ in me.
Yep. "Having on his head a golden crown." Right. Gold speaks of what?
Nature.
Crowns are not passed out like popcorn at a drive-in movie.
The mind of Christ.
That gold speaks of the God crown or the mind of Christ. "And in his hand a sharp sickle." And it literally is talking about a sharp sickle prepared to harvest. He was ready to do some harvesting. Okay? Where's that taking place at now, remember?
It's internal.
It's internal. Every bit of this. See, the earth, what's inside of me that's been growing in this earth, it's time to harvest it. And it takes a sharp two-edged sword, or they can call it a sickle if they want to, can't they? It's the word of God.
Anyway.
It's a cutting instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And where did I leave off at?
Here in 14. He actually said a sharp sickle in his hand.
"And another messenger came out of the temple." Where's that at?
Inside me too.
"Know you not that you're the temple of the living God?"
Mm-hmm.
"Crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud." Who are you talking to? Who are you talking to?
Me.
To yourself.
Mm-hmm.
"Thrust in your sickle and reap, because the time has come for you to reap, because the harvest of the earth is..." What?
Right.
Or mature. Okay.
So when you become mature, you think you've arrived. Time for the cutting.
Time for the cutting. Yeah. But you're going to know it.
Mm-hmm. It see, won't it's not hurt.
Gonna, other people may not see it. It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't hurt.
No.
When it's mature.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
And, I'm not sure. What's the cutting? I mean, what?
Where?
Yeah.
No, we said the cutting.
The harvesting.
Yeah.
Internally.
It's internally.
It's first fruit taken, first fruit.
It's the harvesting of what God has put in it. It's come to maturity. God said when he planted things in the earth, in Isaiah 5, he said he looked for grapes, and all he found was poisonous, stinking berries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he planted it in the earth. What he put in the earth, himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't come to fruition. It didn't come to maturity. The fruit didn't come up.
Seed produces like
okay. Because they perverted it with how it should have been cultivated and taken care of, and it wasn't.
So it would be kind of like the wine press. It's already, you know, you get the flesh of the grapes already in. stomped out and stuff, and you get
that. Well, we're going to get that right here in just a minute, I think. Yeah.
Get the wine, the blood of the grape.
Yeah. Well, we have to get the grape from the vine before you can put it in the wine press.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're doing here.
Okay. I'm just trying to piece it together.
It's all right. That's perfectly fine to ask questions. I enjoy them. And verse 16, he said, "And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, or into the earth, and the earth was reaped." So there, they've been cut off. Now your processing really begins. He's just saying the same thing over again, what we've already talked about. But he's telling you another way. You're cut off from the vine. How many times in our walk with God do we feel like we're cut off?
All the time.
How many times do you feel isolated and alone? But see, that's that ego, that thing in your mind telling you, God ain't taking care of you. There ain't no God. You know, he don't love you. But see, even in those words that your mind tells you, he lied. It's very obvious. He'll say there is no God, and then he'll say he lied.
Yeah.
He tells lies, and your mind tells you lies, and can't even cover his own lies. Anyway, he said the earth was reaped. And another messenger came out of the temple, that's us, which is in the spirit realm, also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the altar, out from the altar, and that's the place of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. There were the that's place of sacrifice for the overcomer. Where would that might be? Where is that altar?
In my mind.
In your mind. Which had power over fire. That's the Spirit of God. And cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sickle, gather the clusters of the vine. He is the vine and we are the branches," right? "But harvest the vine in the earth, of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." They're mature. Right?
I think there he's just showing you why you were chosen.
Yeah.
I mean, that you were chosen.
It's convincing you that you are chosen, you know. If you can hear it, you're chosen. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Continue on.
Are you going to continue on in your growth, or are you going to sit down and just say, "Well, I'm chosen"? You don't work that way. I mean, you can't do that. If he calls you, you're going to go on. Many are called, but how many are chosen? Not a lot of them. And we're on 19 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
"And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great wine press." And what do you think that is right there, the wine press?
Huh?
It's part of our test that we walk through, but it literally says it's a trough. In the Concordant Literal Version, it says it's a trough. Yeah. And it's just a big... The wine press is nothing like... A lot of them had barrel, like big tubs or whatever, and they throw them in, and everybody just stomps the crap out of them. Do you ever feel like you was having the crap dumped out of you?
Stomping the flesh out, the blood of the grape goes out.
The flesh stays. The flesh stays in there.
Yeah.
The blood flows out. There's the life going out of that flesh.
Well, if you think about back whenever they had, when they had to present the sacrifice, it had to be a pure thing to be sacrificed, and that's what this is just saying it a different way.
It's all it is.
We have to present
ourselves a living sacrifice.
You're right.
A living sacrifice. And it says, into the great wine press of the wrath or the passion. Mm-hmm. That's thumos, it's the passion of God.
I am.
Yeah. And the wine press, the big trough, was trodden outside the city. What city are we talking of?
The religious city, Jerusalem.
Heavenly Jerusalem, Revelation 21:2. We saw it coming down from above, okay? Look here, we were put in the wine press outside the city.
Didn't they take Jesus outside the city?
Sure they did. Didn't they? Took him up on the hill. But they took him outside the city.
Mm-hmm.
because we don't need the flesh in the city. The city is the bride of Christ, the new the heavenly Jerusalem. So they did it without the city, you know, new heavenly Jerusalem. And blood came out of the wine press. Now, see, they see this as a really bad negative thing. And I have never heard anybody speak of this positive. Never on this verse. They talk about this as the Battle of Armageddon. It ain't got nothing to do with the Battle of Armageddon. It said the wine press was trodden without the city, and blood, and that's the life, came out of the wine press, even to the horse's bridle. Okay? What do you think it is?
Something with the strength of argument.
Horse speaks of a strong animal, an overcomer, okay? And it says this blood ran up to the mouth of the horse, the overcomer, okay? Uh-huh. By the space of 1,600 furlongs, or 200 miles. Okay. Now, everybody sees this as a negative thing. Everything was killed and all the animals died. They come up with these stories about it. And they say horses were all slain and all the animals and people were killed and everything. Can't be anyway. But this is saying blood being life. It's not always death, is it?
No.
Without blood, it's life. Yeah.
Well, he's just talking about grapes before, so how did blood come out of a grape?
Well, it's synonymous, the word they call it, the blood of the grape.
Yeah.
But it's still symbolism. It's speaking about the life. But up to the what?
The girdle.
The mouth.
To the mouth of the overcomers. What's coming out of your mouth?
Words.
Life or death?
Life.
Life or death. This isn't a negative, but everybody sees it as a negative. This is a positive thing. So when these horses, these overcomers, speak, what are they speaking? What are they talking about? The Word of God, the truth.
Guess what just happened to me?
See, I never heard anybody ever speak that positive in my life. Well, I heard it here.
The whole book of Revelation they speak as a negative.
I understand, but this one right here, everybody jumps on and uses that as a negative thing, and it's not. That lit me. That's a positive, positive thing.
The blood is coming from out of the
mouth.
Overcomer.
Up to the mouth of the overcomer.
The overcoming first response. Mm-hmm.
And what's two?
Witness.
It don't have, them other zeros don't mean anything.
Oh, 200
miles. Yeah. There's this, I mean, you know, this book is not a negative book, but everybody wants to make it that thing. But when the life, and blood is life, so when that blood comes up so far, what's coming out of her mouth? Life or death, that's all there is. That there's your judgment on everybody speaking. You don't have to worry about it. They tell on themselves, don't they?
You just say the spirit of life is in the tongue.
The power of life and death in the tongue. Yeah. That's the same thing. If it's coming out of your mouth, life or death, one or the other.
It also goes back, and is it in James where he says, who can bridle the tongue?
No man can bridle the tongue.
Yeah.
Only the Christ can bridle the tongue. Mm-hmm. It's not about the man. It's about the Christ. And like I tell them every day, I said, they say I'm crazy, and I said, yeah, I am. Crazy about him. I don't care.